thank you for joining us here tonight. Sunday I announced that I was going to be sharing a teaching tonight entitled The Battle You Fight After the Battle You Win. And I dove back into that this week. It will be Sunday when I share that message, and I am so excited about doing so. But tonight, I want to build a teaching around this question. Got problems? Are you facing some problems in your life tonight? The truth of the matter is life has its troubles and life has its problems. You know, Job said in Job 14, verse 1, that man born of woman is a few days and full of trouble. And, of course, you can understand why Job might have made a declaration like that. But we all have to deal with troubles and problems. And Jesus said in John 16, this is right after he told his disciples some bad stuff that was going to go down. And then he told them, said, you're going to scatter. You're going to leave me. You're going to go in different directions from me, so to speak. Then he said, verse 33, these things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation. But be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. Tribulation, trials, troubles, problems. Jesus said that in this world, we're going to have to deal with these. We don't get exempt from trouble. Now, I'm going to make a statement that really needs to be said from time to time because it's a truth. Even the child of God is not exempt from suffering in this world. And if you are in one of those seasons right now where everything's just fine, two thumbs up, no issues, no struggles, no problems, you can bless the name of the living God for that. Every good and perfect gift comes from Him. But Jesus Himself said, in this world you will have tribulation. Not prophesying it on you. I'm just saying what Jesus said, and He is the way, the truth, and the life. So, since that is true, that we have to deal with problems, the matter becomes, how do we deal with them? How do we handle the problems that come our way? I mean, just think about the day you were born. Someone grabbed you by your heels, held you upside down, and then gave you a hard swat on your bottom. And that's how it all started. Kind of a prophetic picture, maybe, of things to come. But it's just the truth. In this life, you're going to have problems. And some of them, you'll be able to solve yourself, and you should solve yourself. That's true. You can handle some of them. You'll be able to solve them. Some of them comes. You're going to have someone to come alongside you in order to help solve those problems. There are other times when someone else by themselves are going to have to solve the thing that's a problem for you. And you may make yourself miserable trying to change them in order to change the thing that needs to be changed so that your problem can be solved. Some problems that come, only God can solve them. And there's some problems that are going to come that may remain unsolved the rest of your life for various reasons, and we won't get into that tonight. I think I've stated the case sufficiently. We have to deal with problems in this life. Now, you can fight them. You can ignore them. Anything you sweep under the rug is still there. That's not a proper way to deal with it. But I would encourage you to face your problems. Not only face them in faith. Face them with the strength and help that God gives. As believers, as a child of God, you have access to help that people who don't know Jesus simply do not have. This verse tells us, He said, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation. Notice that. In me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation. He is saying, that in the face of tribulation, in the face of trials, in the face of problems, you can still have peace. I have borne witness to that in people's life that were facing some of the most heavyweight situations that you can imagine. And I have seen them remain steady, remain strong, and go through things that I wonder, could I possibly go through something like that? Only Jesus can give us that kind of strength. He says in Philippians 4:13, Paul did testify, and he said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Paul clearly testifies that our position in Christ positions us to a strength that we can receive that will enable us to bear up under, to pass through, or overcome whatever we may face. And we need to take that to heart. There may be people in the room right now, you really need to hear what I'm sharing tonight, because you may be in the middle of it. Now, I want to share some truths with you considering some general words of advice about how to deal with your problems. How do you deal with them? And these are just some simple, practical, hopefully helpful things that I'm going to be sharing with you. So listen up and take them to heart. The first thing I want to share with you is, if you're facing a problem, it can be a thousand different things. Keep a check on the level of your frustration. When we're facing a difficulty in our life, something unforeseen happens, some circumstance, it can be of our own making. It can be as a result of what someone else has done and it's affecting us. It can simply be something accidental that there's really no one to point a finger at or to say, this is that person's fault or this person's fault. But it's something, nonetheless, you're having to carry, you're having to deal with, you're having to face. Keep a check on the level of your frustration. And in Galatians 5:22, we're told, I'm going to read the fruit of the Spirit, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. Now, the reason I'm giving you that list of the fruit of the Spirit is sometimes when we're in the midst of a difficulty, a problem that we're wrestling with, we find ourselves becoming agitated, irritated, frustrated. And depending on our temperament and our makeup, we want to try to fix it. Sometimes we'll try to control people to fix it. Sometimes we'll try to manipulate circumstance to fix it. And maybe you're in the middle of something and there hadn't been the fixing of it yet. And it's like you've tried this, you've tried that, and it's like nothing's working. And your frustration level's just increasing. And you realize that you're tempered, you're irritable, things are just bothering you more, things that normally wouldn't. You need to keep a check on that. And as believers, one thing that's helpful is to remember the fruit of the Holy Spirit. If you're having a hard time loving someone, if you're having a hard time just being joyful and rejoicing, if you're having a hard time like staying in the place of peace, if you're having a hard time being patient, if you're having a hard time being kind, being good, maybe it's affecting even your faithfulness, doing the things you know you ought to be doing. If you're having a hard time being gentle with people, if you're having a hard time controlling yourself, see, all of those are alerting you and alarming you that you're not walking in the Spirit. Those things are evidence that you are allowing the Holy Spirit to lead you, to help you, to guide you, and manifest in your life. So if you're struggling with those things, with love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, self-control. If you're struggling with those, then it means that your frustration level is just it's out of control. What do you do? Take a deep breath. Begin praying. Holy Spirit, help me. I'm having a hard time loving this person. Holy Spirit, help me. For some reason, I'm just down. I've lost the joy of my salvation. Holy Spirit, help me. I not only am I not being gentle, I'm wanting to cold cock that person. Be honest with God. You're not giving Him new information when you're telling Him these things, right? He already knows it. But what you are doing, you are acknowledging your need for His help. So, just simply keep a check on the level of your frustration. And sometimes your friends, your family members, sometimes your spouse will even help you. Like, don't know if you noticed, but you've been real cranky. You know, why are you so short and snappy today? What's going on? Well, when we're frustrated and someone that we love very much calls us on the carpet, gets in our grill about it, what do we tend to do? Well, we just up the snappiness and we begin to be self-protected and defend ourselves. And what we need to do, faithful of the wounds of a friend, is say, you know what? You are right. I need to put my big boy pants on and be a child of God here and ask the Holy Ghost to help me. I mean, sometimes we just need to realize, you know what? We might ought to remember we are claiming to be a Christian person. We should have the attributes of the Holy Spirit in our life. So keep a check on the level of your frustration. Now, this probably wouldn't be a good thing to do, but I could ask those of you who are here with somebody that knows you well, you could ask them on a scale of 1 to 10 where you think my frustration level is. But I'm not going to do that. But I will ask the Holy Spirit to help you right now. And I will ask you to ask the Holy Spirit, you know, where am I? Simply put, if we ask Him to help us, He will. We're acknowledging His presence in our life. We're acknowledging our need for His help. So, stop, take a deep breath, pray, and maybe go outside and take a walk. Get along with God, go outside, take a walk, close the door, get in the room, and spend a little time with Jesus. 1 Peter 5:7 says, casting all your care upon Him, speaking of Jesus. Why? Because He cares for you. In other words, you back that truck up there and dump it. Take those burdens and roll them off on the Lord. Unzip it and let her rip, tater chip. Tell God what's going on, and you and Him spend some time together and see if you don't come out looking better, feeling better, and acting better. Keep a check on the level of your frustration. All right? And this is something Mickey and I have had to work on through the years. And we are actually doing a better job with this of when one of us becomes frustrated for the other one not to escalate with the other one. Have you noticed how that works? You can be having a good day, and if your spouse gets cranky and escalates on you, you just escalate with them. Game on. Put on the gloves and let's do it. And so if you've got two Christians in the same room and one's deciding they're not acting Christian, that's a great time for the other one to say, you know what? I'm going to remain in a place where I'm acting like a Christian. Don't escalate with them. Sometimes you may need to pray for them instead of saying anything, or respond in love. All right? So, let's move on to the next one. Remember to keep your love tank full. you mean by that? Well, like when your car gets on empty, what do? Start looking for a filling station. Where's your filling station to get your love tank full? Hopefully, you've got people in your life that love you, that encourage you, that support you. Hopefully, there's some worship music you can put on that will draw you into God's presence. Coming to church should be an experience where your love tank gets filled up. I remind myself of that sometimes when we come together, whether it's on a Wednesday evening or a Sunday morning, that in the room, you know, when we're all worshiping and when we're greeting one another, I love the sound of that, of people greeting one another and seeing people welcome one another and smiling at one another. Sharing a greeting, to have someone say, I love you. There are people that come in here week by week, and when they're here on Sunday morning or maybe a Wednesday evening, it may be the only time all week that another human being gives them a hug, looks them in the eyes, and shares an encouraging word with them. Occasionally someone says, I love you, brother. I love you, sister. There may be some people, that's the only time in their week that they encounter love in that way. And just think about it. We have people that are widowed. We have people that are single mothers. We have single people of all age. Mayhap some couples haven't spoken to each other all week. But seriously, this when we meet, this is a time to be filled up in a lot of different ways. And so we need to keep that in mind. What we don't want to happen is for people to come to church and run into the same kind of stuff they sometimes run into at work and at home. Someone being angry, someone being nasty, someone being rude, someone being a fault finder, somebody, you know, and so forth. This needs to be a house of love, a hospital for sinners. We call this place Grace House, and that's what we want her to be. So, keep your love tank full. Why? Love never fails. If you're in the middle of a struggle, get your love tank full. That perfect love casts out all fear. When problems come, one thing the enemy wants to do is to get you in fear and make that problem your master. Satan has a long track record of trying to recruit people to be his press agent. And let people know that he has engineered a problem in her struggle so big that she'll never get over it. That just magnifies him. You see, but God's perfect love, when you know, I don't understand this, I don't know why I'm facing this, I don't know why I'm having to deal with this, but I know God loves me, and his love never fails. 1 John 4:18 says, God is love. And it tells, 1 John 4:18 says, his perfect love casts out all fear. Think of it this way. When we get in the presence of that love of God, and we decide we're going to receive it. See, we need to learn how to give and receive love. Why? Two great commandments. We're to love God with all our heart, mind, body, soul, and strength, and we're to love our neighbors ourselves. So there's three facets there. We're to love God, we're to love others, and we're to properly love ourselves. And when we got that kind of love in it, then that love has the power to dismantle fear in our life. It casts out fear. Fear comes in all forms. Worry is a form of fear. Anxiety is a form of fear. Uncertainty can be a form of fear, and so forth. Fear of this, fear of that, fear of that problem, fear of that situation, fear of that report, fear of that bill, and so forth. Remember to keep your love tank full. And if you need me to top you off right now, God loves you. You are His idea. He formed you in your mother's womb. You haven't faced anything that God's unaware of. He hasn't forgotten your address. He loves you with an everlasting love. He's got you in His double divine grip, and nothing will ever separate you from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. He has placed His very own Spirit in you. He has branded you. He has sealed you for the day of redemption. He will will never leave you. He will never forsake you. Don't you let any two-legged lying devil tell you that you are not loved, because the God of this universe has set a banner above you, and it is love. God loves you. Thirdly, I want to remind you, if you're dealing with a problem tonight, you're struggling with something, there's a right way to do hard things. There's a right way to do the right thing. There's a right way to do the hard thing. And it's important to remember that in the middle of a problem. Why? Because you'll be tempted to deal with it in ungodly ways. You'll be tempted to deal with it in unrighteous ways. I'm so angry. I'm so mad. I know the Lord will understand, but I'm going to let them have it. No, there's a right way to do the hard thing. I remember a number of years ago, I was much younger than I am now, pastoring, and there was a brother in the church that just really got upset with me, and had to do with something I said in a message, which really had nothing in the world to do with him, but it's funny how people will... You know, if shoe fits, wear it, but don't blame me for putting a shoe on you, okay? But anyway, he decided in the front of a lot of our church just to let me have it. And that, I don't, you know, I'm a big boy, I can take that. But there was a part of me when he started that really, really wanted just to set him straight. I mean, just like something you've forgotten to bring up in this entire conversation, the facts, you know. But the Lord, I felt so convicted when I felt those feelings, because I knew I was being observed, and the Holy Spirit helped me. And I just walked over to him and put my hand on his shoulder and says, "Brother, I want to say something to you. I love you. Just want you to know I love you, brother." And I was able to do that meaningful from my heart. His head fell and he started crying. He asked me to forgive him. You know, that's just the right way to do a hard thing. You know. And I'm glad that one turned out that way. It doesn't always turn out that way. But the Bible says a word rightly spoken is like a apple of gold in a setting of silver. And the Holy Spirit, Jesus said, don't think about what you're going to say when you're brought before me. He's talking about when they bring before you to try you, you know, to persecute you. He said, the Holy Spirit will give you what you need to say in those moments. Let me ask you something. In moments like that, when somebody set you off, did your carnal nature have any trouble bringing something up for you to say? Isn't it amazing some of the things he'll try to bring up for you to say? It might have been stuff that you hadn't said since you worked construction 30 years ago. Isn't it amazing? Like within you, there's a resource called your flesh that'll provide you all kind of wrong things to say. And there's a resource within you called your flesh that can wrap all kinds of emotion around those wrong words that your flesh is wanting you to say. Right? But the Word of God tells us we have a resource called Holy Spirit who authored the Scriptures, whose Jesus taught us would bring things to our remembrance, who said when we stand in situations when we're being put on the hot seat, I don't think that's just for when you're brought before a tribunal. It's any time when the pressure's on for you to be unchristian and ungodly. The Holy Spirit can help you know what you ought to say and how you ought to say it. Now, there's nobody scoring 100 on this in this room, and I'm not so naive as to think that. But as believers in Jesus Christ, we all have access to this resource. And we know how to use that other resource. Right? It's easy. Just be yourself, minus Christ. But we have to learn to to rely upon the Holy Spirit and allow Him to lead us. And we come out on top when we do that. Do you notice how Jesus was able to do that? Oh, we got angry, but when He did, it was righteously angry. And sometimes we easily label things that's righteous anger, but it's done. There may be some righteousness behind why you're angry, but are you demonstrating that righteous anger righteously? All right? So, there's a right way to do hard things. The fourth thing is live a forgiving life. A lot of times, our problem, not always, but a lot of times our problems are exacerbated because we become resentful, or we bear a grudge, we become bitter or unforgiving because of the problem. There's usually a human element to our problem somewhere. Somebody somehow is often affiliated with the problem we're dealing with, and it's easy, again, in our carnal nature to be hostile, bitter, and unforgiving. Folks are folks everywhere I've ever been in the world. We're all folks. And folks need to know how to forgive. Because probably 101% of us in the room have had times when we've done things where we needed someone's forgiveness. And we've had times when things were done to us where we needed to forgive someone. If you've got a problem, make sure you're living a forgiving life. So very, very important. If you choose not to live a forgiving life, you will forfeit one of the greatest blessings that you have as a child of God. Jesus said in Matthew 6:15, "But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." Isn't that something? That there is a corresponding relationship to how I choose to forgive others and how I relate to God's forgiveness available to me, or how God relates to my forgiveness. We're forfeiting benefits of forgiveness when we choose not to forgive. And how many times have heard it, "But you don't know what they did to me." I do not, always. You know, sometimes we are aware of things that happen to people, but the Lord knows everything that's ever happened to you, is happening to you, or will happen to you. And He's the one that spoke the words I just read to you. So when it comes to forgiveness issues, we have to take it up with Him. We can have our laundry list of reasons why we don't forgive, and long as you want to make. I mean, they can be longer than a Walmart receipt. You know? But none of them will stand up to the scrutiny of the Holy Spirit. Why? Because of what God did in order for us to be forgiven. Can you compare what's happened to you to what Jesus went through so that you could be forgiven? And that's the basis the Bible says that we have to go by when we're choosing to forgive others. For Christ's sake, because you've been forgiven, you must forgive. It never pays when you choose not to forgive. You will take your enemy to bed with you every night. You'll take that person to bed with you every night. And you will get up with them every morning. They won't leave your side. They'll be a part of everything you do until the moment you choose to forgive. And what's so very powerful to me, and I've seen this so many times through the years, in praying with people and ministering to people. And listen, in the natural, we all understand. There's sometimes when people, it just takes, well, it always takes the grace of God to forgive, but some situations you just, only God could help someone to forgive. You know, yes, there's some horrid, tragic things that people have endured. Remember right here in this altar just a few months ago, a dear lady when she was 7 years old that was in a concentration camp in Dachau, Germany, beaten by guards, lost her hearing in one ear as a result of it. And ministering to her about, we had to forgive. That's hard. I mean, everything in you says, I know why it'd be hard to forgive. But God requires it of us. And we're blessed when we do. Why? Because you don't have to go to bed with that and get up with it and live with it every waking moment when you choose to forgive. And what's been amazing through the years is to see people. You see people struggle at times. I don't know if I can. But this is what the Scripture says. Are you willing to do it? I'm willing to do what the Scripture says. And to lead them in a simple prayer by an act of my will in faith. I choose to forgive. And I've seen people struggling to form the words and struggle through that. I forgive them. And the moment that word crosses their lips, their countenance changes. It is amazing when God's grace comes. And you say yes, and you let that go. You don't realize how much space in your life had been rented out to that thing until you send it packing out the front door. Live a forgiving life. Now, this is the last thing I'll share. Like I said, these are very simple things. There could be a lot of other things on this list. Hopefully these will prove helpful. The last one is rightly living the Christ life gives you peace. Like doing these things God's way, realizing that as a Christian, that means Christ is in your life. And you are relying upon Him to live your life. Paul said, I'm crucified with Christ. The life which I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. Paul understood that his life now was Christ's life in him. That when we live that way, that enables us to live in peace. And I can tell you, there's people all over this world, some of them, have 7, 8, 9, 10 figures of wealth in their bank accounts. And there are some of them that would probably give, if not everything, most of what they have, just to have peace. It's something money cannot buy. It's something the world cannot give you. It's something that you and your own resources cannot find. To be at peace. Some people don't have a clue what that means. Their lives are so turbulent, filled with so much turmoil, and they live on the dance floor with trouble day in and day out. But when peace comes, and you're not always happy, but you can still be at peace. You may not have a trouble-free life, but you can still be at peace. That problem may still be there, but you can face it with peace. I love Romans 16:20, where Paul declares to the Romans that the peace of God will crush Satan under your feet shortly. Jesus said, I and me, you have peace. Be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. This John 16:33, that's the key. He said, in me you can have peace. In the world you're going to have tribulation, but be of good cheer. See, in me you have peace. I've overcome the world. The one who truly overcame everything Satan threw at him. Now, his spirit lives in you. The same spirit that enabled him to overcome everything that came down the pike at him, the same spirit that helped him, now dwells inside of you. Jesus said, be of good cheer. Heads up. Smile on. It's going to be all right. I have overcome the world. But I got problems. In this world, you're going to have them. He still said, be of good cheer. I mean, this is cheerleader verse here. Jesus himself is cheerleading you. He's leading you to a life of cheerfulness and joy. Why? He can give you peace in the middle of your storm. He can give you peace in the midst of your struggles. He can give you peace in the face of that giant. And you can overcome. You can make it through. Don't allow whatever problem you may be dealing with tonight to be your master. Let Him, the Lord Jesus, be your master. Amen. Would you stand with me? I do pray you're encouraged tonight. Maybe someone online is needing this as well. I'm going to ask our prayer team members, some of our staff leaders, just to come and be here to pray. There may be people tonight, you need someone to pray with you in light of this message or something else that you may be going through tonight. And I want to afford you that opportunity. I want you to bow your heads for just a moment. And I want to ask you in the sweet name of Jesus, whatever that problem is, lay it at His feet right now. I want to ask you to ask the Holy Spirit to help you right now. Holy Spirit, help me. I need your strength. I need you to help me with this problem. I'm laying it at Jesus' feet. And Lord, I want the fruit of the Holy Spirit to manifest in me as I face this problem. I ask for your grace. I ask for your mercy. I ask for your peace. Based on Hebrews 4, verse 12 and following, you have the authority to ask God for that. Come right into His throne room and ask for grace and mercy to help you tonight in your time of need. So, Father, I pray now that your precious Holy Spirit would begin to fill people new and afresh in this room and supply strength where it's needed, wisdom where it's needed, help where it's needed, guidance where it's needed. Father, I pray in the mighty name of Jesus, thank you that you're the Lord of the angel armies, that you can dispatch angels to help. Whatever's needed, Lord, stretch forth your hand tonight. That with your power and your might, make your presence known in my brother and sister's life. Help them tonight, I ask. And give them the courage, or help them to be courageous in the face of their problems, their struggles. To fight the good fight of faith. To war with godly weaponry. To rely upon you, Lord. And Lord, for those who may need to forgive tonight, help them to let that unforgiveness go. Oh, Lord, may you just overwhelm them with your perfect love right now. Fill them with your sweet Holy Spirit right now. Encourage them through your word, these scriptures that have been shared tonight. In the name of Jesus, I say to you, be blessed. Be strengthened. Be helped tonight. And I ask you, if you need prayer, just to come on up right now in the name of Jesus. God bless you. We're going to worship. As we begin to worship, you come. Make your way forward. Oh, never fails. He's here to help. For being here on this Wednesday evening. I hope all of you will join back with us this Sunday morning at either 8:30 or 10 a.m. Looking forward to that service. Got a good word for you.